Okay. So I'm like totally surprised. Usually donuts are all gone, and then we have duck donuts, and there's some left back there. What's the deal? Were you guys scared? Like, oh my gosh, I really can only have a half because this is duck donuts. Like, that's kind of funny. Usually they're all gone. Whoever brought duck donuts, praise the Lord. We thank you. We thank you for bacon, that we're in the New Testament. We can have donuts with bacon on it, and then bacon sauce and bacon candies. Okay. Now everyone's going to get a duck donut. So I'm going to go ahead and wait a second while you get your duck donut, and then you come and sit down. Hey, how did you guys like Bob Dabin? That was pretty sweet, right? Give it up. That's pretty good. All right, grab your donut and come sit down. Shouldn't have said anything about the duck donuts. So I was like really trying hard to think of some really clever way to start this message, but I don't really have anything, so just know that this is my clever way to start it, and that is that we are beginning a new series in the book of Ecclesiastes, and I don't even know when last time I even heard a series in the book of Ecclesiastes, so I hope you're kind of excited about it. Today, I'm going to give you just a little bit of an intro into the book, talk to you a little bit about Solomon. Who was this guy Solomon? On your table, there's note sheets. I would encourage you just to even take a look at it, put it in front of you. It'll help you follow along with my message. There's not a ton on there. Just gave you something to take home with you. But I want to read to you a verse, and then I want to pray. And this verse is Proverbs 1:7. It's not on the screen, so you have to just listen up to me. But it says this: "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." Let me pray. Lord God, I thank you this day that we can gather. Lord, I'm thankful for a warm place to meet with a sound system. And God, just many things that I think we don't deserve, and yet you give them to us. And Lord, I pray that we would never look to earthly things to bring us happiness, but God, we'd ultimately look to you and the wisdom that you give to live as you, for us to live as you desire us to live. I pray today, God, that your word speaks to students about how you are the creator. Amen. So the book of Ecclesiastes, if you've never heard of it, that's okay. It's in the Old Testament, and it's written by this guy named Solomon. Now, you may have heard of Solomon because he wrote the book of Proverbs, but we're going to be focusing on Ecclesiastes in this series. And so Solomon, who is Solomon? Just a brief history on who this guy Solomon is, so you know who he is, have a little bit of background. Solomon was the son of King David. Okay, King David, may have heard of him before, pretty big guy in the Old Testament, part of the line of Jesus. Another important guy is Jesus. And it says David was a man after God's own heart. So Solomon's dad was King David, and of King David it was said that Solomon was a man after God's own heart, which to be the son of a guy that it's written about in the Bible, it says a man after God's own heart, is like a great blessing and yet kind of scary because it's like, wow, I have a lot to live up to if that's who my dad is. Interestingly enough, though, if you know a little bit about David, he's an interesting character to me in the Bible because it says he's a man after God's own heart, yet he committed adultery with a woman named Bathsheba, and to cover up the adultery, he murdered her husband, and then ended up having a child. The child wasn't Solomon, although Solomon's mom was Bathsheba, but it wasn't. He didn't come out of the adultery, but still, just an interesting character that David is. And then as Solomon comes along, I think you see some of the things that David struggled with that Solomon also struggles with. Solomon was brought up in a house of polygamy, having tons of wives. So I think jealousy would have abounded in his house. And I think you see this even in Solomon's life. Even though he's called the wisest man that ever lived, he still struggled with some serious moral issues. I think we can learn a lot from him, but we also see just the downfall of man through that. So Solomon also became one of the kings of Israel. He built huge palaces, had a lot of wealth, really smart guy. Solomon's reign began at a really early age, and he reigned as the king of Israel for 40 years. Also, you see the one blank. It says that Solomon wrote the book of Ecclesiastes and the book of Proverbs. So that's the two books that that Solomon wrote in the Bible, two books on wisdom. I'm sorry, he wrote Ecclesiastes, sorry, he talked about Proverbs and Song of Solomon. Song of Solomon is an interesting book. I won't go into detail on it right now. You're laughing if you know what it's about. So his reign began at an early age. for political gain, he actually married the Egyptian Pharaoh's daughter because he wanted to be able to have a political alliance with them. And so that's what we're going to pick up. We're going to pick up in 1 Kings chapter 3. So if you have your Bible, turn to 1 Kings chapter 3. Had a little background on his life. There's a lot more there, but that's just a general background. So starting in verse 5, it says, at Gibeon, so Solomon is at this place called Gibeon. The Lord appeared to Solomon during the night in a dream, and God said, this is what God said, ask for whatever you want me to give you. Now, this is a dream, but it's a real thing that's happening. That's how, in the Old Testament, and we hear this in other countries, many times Muslim countries, when Christians come to know, when people come to know Christ, it's a lot of times through dreams. So this is what he says, God asked him in the dream, ask for whatever you want me to give you. And I'm just like, when I read that, I'm like, Lord, that's kind of crazy. Why would you ask a fallen human being, ask me whatever you want, and basically I'll give it to you. So this is a question that he asked. And here's how Solomon answers. Verse 6, Solomon answered, you have shown great kindness to your servant, my father David, because he was faithful to you and righteous and upright in heart. You have continued this great kindness to him and have given him a son to sit on his throne this very day. So that's not on the screen, but what I just read to you is really Solomon looking back in his past and saying, I've seen God, how you've been faithful to my father. And in that same way, I think Solomon does have a heart that wants to stay faithful to the Lord and wants to follow him. And so picking up in verse 7, he says, now, Lord, my God, he has a personal relationship with God. He has something, I think there's a sense that God, he understands God. He knows who he is. He's walked with him in a way. He says, now, Lord, my God, you have made your servant king in a place of my father, David. So he's saying he's become a servant king. He's become the king in place of David. But I am only a little child and do not know how to carry out my duties. Your servant is here among the people you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to count or number. So give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and distinguish between right and wrong. For who is able to govern this great people of yours? So I think Solomon in this way shows really great humility when he asks God, when God asks him, what do you want? And his reply is, I want discernment. I want to be able to govern these people. I want to be able to lead, Lord, as you desire. So he goes to God and says, Lord, ultimately, I want you to speak to me in a way that I can then walk out your ways and your desires. Solomon saw his great need for wisdom, his great need for guidance, his great need for truth. You know, sometimes we talk about, oh, the world has gotten so bad, but it was the same back then. Solomon was dealing with the same issues with people, the same issues with truth, the same issues with the flesh wanting to go against what God says. He was seeking guidance, direction, meaning, and wisdom for leading God's people to be able to choose between right and wrong. Solomon knew God was the only one who could truly give him discernment, the only one that could truly give him truth, truly give him wisdom, because God is the author of all. He knew that. Solomon had already had a great knowledge of this. And then he says, God, what I really want from you is for you to speak to me in a way that you help me have discernment and great wisdom as I live. So here's what God says to him, picking up in verse 10. The Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for this. So God said to him, since you have asked for this and not for long life or wealth for yourself, nor have you asked for the death of your enemies, but for discernment and administering justice, I will do what you have asked. I will give you a wise and discerning heart so that there will never have been anyone like you, nor will there ever be. Moreover, I will give you what you have not asked for, both wealth and honor, so that in your lifetime you will have no equal among kings. And then he goes on, and this isn't up there, but he says, and if you walk in obedience to me and keep my decrees and commands as David your father did, I will give you a long life. Then Solomon awoke, and he realized he had had a dream. I think that was up there. So that's what happens. He asked God. God says, man, I will give this to you because you are seeking me, because you desire me. I will so give this to you because you want to walk in my ways. So I want to ask you this question. Have you ever thought about this? If God came to you in the same way that he did to Solomon and asked you, ask me anything, what is it that you want? If you were in that same circumstance, what would you say to God? So on your sheet, you'll see under the first column, who is Solomon? There's a question. If God were to come to you like Solomon did, what would you ask God to give you? I want to give you a minute to answer that on your own. What would you ask God to give you? Take a second and do that. Take a minute to think about it. Think about it. If you're in that situation, what would you ask God to give you? I think for some of us, we actually are like, I'm not sure what I would ask God for. I think sometimes we get caught up in maybe like specific circumstances in our life that we need to ask God for. That's not bad. That's a good thing. God definitely tells us to come to him. So instead, I want to pose to you this question for you to think about. Not in the same way, Lord, if the God came and said, ask me anything, but this question of what do you need to ask God for? What in your life, not do you want, not what you desire, but what do you need to ask God for? Because we need God's wisdom. We need God's guidance. We need his truth to guide us as we walk in this life. As you are in high school, as you move to college, as you move to what they call adulthood, and as you continue on, we are in continual need of God's guidance to walk us out in truth. Because I think what we're all looking for is we're looking for a compass. We're all looking for a compass to direct our lives, right? Because think about it like this. Sometimes we want a set of beliefs or a code of ethics to follow. And those are good things. You go to college and every college has a code of ethics. And those are things that help guide your way. Or a lot of people are looking for some kind of spirituality. It can be many different things. All a gamut of things because they think, well, that'll guide me. Something will speak to me. We're all looking for just some sort of compass because a compass points the direction of where you should be going. If you need to go north, the compass shows you where north is. If you need to go south, the compass shows you where south is. I think there's a picture of a compass if you don't mind throwing it up there on the screen. God points us with his compass. So, yes. Compass. What am I saying? Compass. Compass. When you're from Richmond, that's how you say it. It's spelled. How do you say it? Compass. Compass. Hey, if my wife is here, she'd be making mad fun of me. I was wondering why you guys were laughing. I'm trying to be serious here, and you guys are making fun of me. Come on. Okay, you see that thing on the screen? That directs you. That thing directs you. We are looking for something, truly, to guide our lives. Some kind of spirituality. I think for a lot of it, it's like, well, I want to gain more knowledge about my field of study or whatever it is, because that will make me smarter and that will ultimately guide me in life. You know, there's so many. You go into any of these stores, and because I'm married, I go to places like TJ Maxx and Marshalls and Home Goods. You know all those stores, and you walk down the aisles and you see all these signs that are like, follow your heart. Live, laugh, love, right? But it's funny, I mean, but those things, they're real, and people use it as I don't even want to say it, as those things, that thing right there. People use it, that to guide, people use that as something to guide their life. Follow your heart. What does that mean? Dude, the Bible says your heart is deceitful among anything that there is out there. Our heart will lead us on its own in so many wrong ways. People go to things like astrology, palm reading. You see these different, we used to travel to Lynchburg a lot because my brother and we were from there and our brother and sister-in-law were there. And every time we traveled down, I remember getting to the outskirts of Charlottesville and I'd always see this one palm reading place. And it always was sad to me to think that people would go there to really find the guidance, the wisdom that they were looking for in life. There's a lot of self-help books out there that are looking for guidance. We're all are looking for the wisdom, a track in life, something to follow. So I actually want to show you an interesting video right now that will help kind of bring this to light. So I just thought it was interesting to learn about Solomon I mean, to learn about Einstein and just to see that he was really like seeking, by all means, seeking God. And he knew that there was something behind it. But he's like, I can't fully see it. And so I'm not going to believe it. And again, I just want to bring up Proverbs 1:7 that says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. I wouldn't say that Einstein despised wisdom and instruction, because I would say in a lot of ways, he sought great knowledge. Man, smart guy, way smarter than I can ever even possibly think to be. But what he didn't have was the fear of the Lord. He did not have the fear of the Lord. He had the fear of not knowing enough, not being in full control, and so it didn't bring him to a place of submission to God. Because here's really what wisdom is. Wisdom, simply defined, is this: seeing life as God sees it and acting accordingly. Seeing life as God sees it and acting accordingly. Now, that's a pretty basic definition, I think, of biblical wisdom. So I want to read to you a verse from Ecclesiastes that's kind of going to be our theme verse as we go throughout this study. And it's Ecclesiastes 12:1. And it says this: remember your creator in the days of your youth, before the days of trouble come and the years approach when you will say, I find no pleasure in them. Remember your creator. Remember your creator. And that's something we can read and look over and be like, ah, that's cool. But I think it's really interesting to me that Solomon would choose the word creator in this verse. I think he could have easily chose, remember the Lord, remember God, remember Yahweh, remember your healer, remember your sustainer. He could have said a multitude of things, but he specifically chose the word creator. And I think that's because he wanted to bring us all back to where it all began. To go, where did it all begin? It all began with God. And when you remember that and trust in him, it shapes the way you live your entire life. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to take a moment. This was cool. As I was kind of thinking and studying for this message and think about it, I had this kind of one of those cool moments where you kind of feel like you're kind of out of your body, sort of, not really, if you know what I'm talking about. I'm not trying to get too weird here. But as I was thinking about this, sometimes you take like a bird's eye view of your life and of the world, and you kind of just think about things. And what I was doing was I just had this picture of like the earth. If you go to the next slide, there should be a picture up there of the earth. And in your own mind, in a way you can, as you take a step back from your life, the relationships that you have, the schoolwork that you have, the job that you have, whatever the thing is, as you take a step back from that, and you just think about and look at the earth and say, in my mind, I'm like, that, it had to come from somewhere. And the way that man is made and the intricacies that we have, it made me just step back and go, God created this. That did not come, that did come from nowhere, but God created it out of nothing. It wasn't just some bubbling of things. It wasn't, and there's a lot of science behind different things, but I truly believe the Bible in Genesis 1 says, in the beginning, God created. And sometimes I think, not in a bad way, but I am so guilty of it. I get caught up in my life of doing all the different things that we need to do that are good things that the Lord wants us to do. But I think sometimes I just forget what the beginning is. And I think that's what Solomon's doing in that Ecclesiastes verse. He's saying, remember your creator in the days of your youth. So he's talking to you guys right now. He's saying right now, remember your creator, the one who created it all. And I think the two verses, Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, and Ecclesiastes 12:1 that talks about remember your creator, I think these two verses are really intertwined. I think they're really close together, because when we believe in a kind of a life-changing way, in a moment-by-moment way, that God is the creator, it is then when we believe he's creator, and because we believe he's creator, We then have the foundation on which to understand knowledge, understand truth, to understand instruction. And so if we believe that, and we have that foundation that God is creator, here's two things. Believing God is creator means that you believe God has a grand design and purpose for this world, and that you're a part of it. And you are an important part of it, whoever you are. And believing God is creator means he's created you with a specific design and purpose. And so when we believe that he's creator, that he created this earth out of nothing, that he spoke it just by his word, that he has a mission and a purpose for each of us on this earth, we then bring in the fear of the Lord. And you know, sometimes we have this idea of fear is like, oh, God's always looking down at me, that I'm going to get in trouble if I do the wrong thing. It's not that. It's that's part of it, because he's God and he did create us, but it's also this idea of kind of an awe that he would speak that. He would speak that out of nothing and it would be created, that he would create us. Psalm 139:2 says this: you know when I sit down, you know when I rise, you perceive my thoughts from afar. When we have godly wisdom, understanding, and knowledge, we then can have the correct awareness of what God is doing, his purpose on this earth, and what he has for me to do. So, wisdom is not this. I want to be clear about this. Wisdom is not how to be a better Christian. That is the furthest thing from wisdom. Wisdom, if you hear one thing I say today, wisdom is not how to be a better Christian. I want to tell you four things that I do believe wisdom is. I believe wisdom is discovering to live as God designed you to live. Wisdom is discovering how God designed you to live. As you learn about God's truth, how he wants you to walk, man, you learn to live. How does he want me to live? He wants me to be a disciple. He wants me to tell others about him. He loves me. Wisdom is discovering that through his truth, through others, through walking with him, through prayer, through life circumstances, discovering how God designed us to live. Second thing is, wisdom is how to conduct oneself in the practical affairs of everyday life to bring glory to God and live with internal peace. God desires for you to know and to talk to you and give you wisdom on how to live in everyday matters, in everyday practical ways, in the smallest of things to the largest of things. God wants to walk with you in that, to bring glory to him. And I think when the world around you could be crazy, you can live with internal peace inside you, in your mind, emotions, your will, because you know that God has given you wisdom and how to live. I think wisdom is this: it is insight into the true nature of life. This one hits home for me. I remember when I was in y'all's shoes up until my junior year in college, I kind of just lived in this little bubble of myself and honestly just didn't realize it, but thought life was all about me. And then went through a little bit of not the most horrible time ever, but a little time where struggled in life, and that was hard. But I began to wonder, what's the purpose of all this? Why am I here? What's the whole deal? And as much as I wouldn't want to go back to that time because it was hard, it was what God brought me to realize, man, there is more to this life. And ultimately, real purpose is found in living in him. And God, through his wisdom, will give you insight, knowledge into the true nature of all parts of your life. What's the real purpose of this? Why do we live for him? Why do we do the things we do? That's what wisdom does. And finally, wisdom is living rightly in relation to others, so that we bring each other closer to our Creator. Wisdom is living rightly in relation to others, so that we bring each other closer to our Creator. So wisdom is not about being a better Christian, but it's about learning to follow and walk with God to experience him. That's what wisdom is. I also just would say God's wisdom and understanding exposes the lies of Satan. As you begin to walk with God, it exposes the lies that Satan does. And that, in this study of Ecclesiastes that we're going to go through, we're going to expose some of the lies of Satan and the lies of the world that many of us believe, so that we can be freed from that and be freed to walk with God in his wisdom. And so as I close out, go back to Proverbs 1:7. At the end of that verse, it says, "Fools despise wisdom and instruction." Fools despise wisdom and instruction. And the reason is because they don't have the fear of the Lord. They don't want God in their life. They don't want anybody else in their life telling them what to do, how to live, who to be. So they despise God's wisdom. In essence, what they do is, and what we do when we despise God's wisdom and living out how he desires is, we're basically saying, God, I don't really believe you're creator. I just believe I'm kind of here and I'm doing my own thing. and I want to do what I want to do. We reject him in that way. Romans 1:21-22 says, "For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools. A fool is as if God does not exist. His promises, his covenants, his commands, they're not real. I don't trust them. I don't believe them. I want to walk my own way, God." It's interesting, too, as we look at Solomon's life. He's still, and even though he was the wisest man, sometimes I think God gave him the wisdom, but he didn't live it out. And because of that, he would have his own moral downfalls. So, end with this. As you thought about that question before, what would I ask God for? Now I want to ask you again, what do you need to ask God for now? And I pray that through his word and seeing that he's creator, that you need his wisdom. And ultimately, as I talked about, God is creator and he has a grand design and plan. If you're here today and you've never heard that God sent his son down to earth to live and die for us, because we couldn't pay the penalty of the bad things that we do. That was God's ultimate grand design, is that we could have life if we put our faith in Christ. I would love for you to know that today, that was God's ultimate grand design, is to redeem us through his son, Jesus. James 1:5 says this, "If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you." So I pray today that you saw that we need to ask God for his wisdom in living out the design that he has. And I pray that it impacted you like it impacted me, that man, God is the creator and has a grand design for me.